to you. For us to recognize that we're not doing you any favor to give you a nod, but that you did the initiating, taking us, who sometimes think we have a problem with how you handle yourself, what you say in your word. As our culture shifts, there's more and more things that all of a sudden come out, and we think, well, I follow God, I just don't follow that. Lord, would you shape our hearts? And most of all, make us aware of your final say, and also that you are there, that you've been there. So read years and years into the scripture's pages and recognize that you've been calling people, that you've been proving your trustworthy word. And so we sit here at just a moment in time. It is a moment in time. And it's under you. And we would ask that you would be glorified by lifting up the gospel here, lifting up your word. Would you guide what I say? It's a lot of back and forth here in Sunday school to be able to get to the heart. And I can get in the way, and others' personalities, annoyances, perspectives gets in the way. Father, we're praying that you would get what you paid for from those that are yours, and that those that aren't would know they're not, so that they can respond to your call of merciful salvation, deliverance, reconciliation with you, fellowship, oneness, that we want your kingdom to come and your will to be done. And so we come in Jesus' name. Amen.
Membership class starts 5 o'clock tonight in the kitchen. Come tonight for the evening service. Please don't use that door. I'm not known for stopping early. So if you didn't get the book or the syllabus, grab that from me. If you are able to read the assignment for tonight, to either handwrite that and pass that in, or email that to me at johndmusicman@gmail.com. Susie has a couple things she needs help for with the food for the trip. I don't know, frying up meat, or I have no idea. Talk to Susie. Well, that's usually one of the things she needs, but if you could talk to her about that. Okay. Let's do this without that video that we opened with. Man, it's been kind of crazy. It's every other week here. Tim did an amazing job last week. Thank you for the dinner. Man, it was a couple weeks ago. I had that kidney stone, then had a birthday. Somebody graped me for my birthday. Thank you. Grape is amazing. Grape Pop-Tarts are amazing. Grape Jell-O is amazing. Grape candy is amazing. Yes, grape. Try it. That was it. Well, I'll add that. I'll take that away from my lemon juice and whatever else. You guys are all telling me all your horror stories and all the solutions, so I should be fine. College trip, Tim. This week here, we leave on a ski trip, so next week is Tim. All right, and we're pulling 29 of us out of here, so that means you're going to talk for you and your empty buddy next to you, all right, empty pew. Be here next week. Be here next Sunday night to encourage the kids. They come back, and then I think we're back to normal for a little while. Easter's coming. Yes, you're right. You're right. It just keeps moving. Are we through with COVID yet? Are we done being tired and worn out? No, there's much. So, I'm thankful. It was just a couple years ago we skipped this for 10 weeks or whatever that was. So, very thankful. But let's skip that video then. 2 weeks ago, we watched the next section of that video. And he said, okay, we're not here just to tear things apart. You realize, if it wasn't, before I get laughed at for spending 2 years on this part of the study, all right, I got one question coming for you with the last part of our study. Why did I spend 8 years on Future Grace? We've talked about it for a year and a half, okay? I went on vacation We showed this video. It fit in with what we've been talking about. We've been talking about this video since the end of September. But it fit. As if we hadn't sat and talked through this, you go, what's an altar call? I used to remember them. I don't know anything about that. We don't do that. What's the big deal? In fact, John the Layman said that in the last part of the video that we watched 2 weeks ago. We said, we're talking about seeking biblical things in a wrong way. Repentance and faith. Well-meaning people that when they push things through to try to give God the glory and get people to change, when you push it through, you end up with a different product. That's where we started talking about cross-centered fruit. What would that look like? We talked about that. What he just ran through, we said, no, hold on. What would cross-centered fruit look like? Well, then we said, all right, if this is what it would look like, it's something that will last, something that's eternal. The more we preach this, the more we'll see people denying themselves, take up their cross, follow Jesus daily. This is lasting fruit. And we said, okay, taking up the cross daily and following him with what we were talking about in prayer meeting in 2 Peter, we said there would be a difference in affections. Your desires would change. It wouldn't just be you would desire to be a better you, a better Christian. I'm sorry I messed up. I want it right. I need to love my wife, my husband, somebody else better. No, there's affections of awe and reverence of God that demand my full attention. A singleness of heart shown not only by life responses, but also by a change of affections for what is eternal. Is that coming out of your life? If it's not, and you profess to be a Christian, then what's coming out of your life? You're not neutral. You're following God, or you're following a God of your own making. And you say, well, am I a Christian or not? Well, that's underneath all of this, but there's plenty of call in Scripture to be alert, to pay attention, to be sober, to repent, to turn back. We said, okay, what would that other fruit look like? And if we're producing fruit other than eternal fruit, how will that live inside the church? What will we see? What will we value inside the church if we're not valuing what's eternal? So as we played that out, remember Dirk's response to that? He said, well, that's easy. We'll end up with man-centered theology and me-centered relationships. Legalistic living and focus on the prosperity gospel. If I do this, he must do that. And where do you see that? Every time you feel disenchanted. I tried to follow God, it didn't work. I feel dry, and it's like kind of like, well, I don't know, I did what I'm supposed to. Showed up at church, read the Bible, tried to be nice to everybody. I don't know, it just doesn't feel like there's anything there, okay? So. Then we said, okay, fine. We admit there's a problem. Then what would it look like to head towards cross-centered fruit? You said, well, yeah, we want all that. No, we don't. Because if we did, it would end up with the results that I just said, a difference in affections, your desires. We said, well, I don't know. How do I change my desire? I said, okay. Well, then we're going to have to let go of our hold of what we need from God, from church, from each other, because our needs are misguided. Our needs are misguided. We're needing people to love us according to how we need to be loved. We're needing to feel like we're useful, so let me serve. We're needing to get something out of the sermon. Maybe the stuff is there, and you haven't learned how to get it out. There's enough there. Well, people are different. No. The life that comes from God is the same, and it comes from His Holy Spirit to you. When He makes your heart in line, opens His Word, the saints, all right, prayer, you don't have to hit a home run. It will produce cross-centered fruit. Remember I said when I grew up, New York City was amazing, and the New York City cops were all trustworthy, okay? Man, I didn't care. They were in blue. I went up to them if I needed help, right? That's how it should be. When we get this in the ballpark, you shouldn't need a perfect pastor, a perfect church, perfect friends. You need genuine Christians around you, genuine Christians. So we said, if you're not used to that, it's going to feel awkward. It's going to hurt. It's going to feel worse than it felt before. Relationships are not going to flow because you're going to realize I shouldn't be focusing here. I should be focusing here. God put you in my life and I'm always looking for what I need. Now, what does he want me to do with the people around me? It's not going to flow right away, but it's the right way to go. So now we worked on the next part of the video here, and he said, look, I'm not just trying to be negative here. He said, here's the positive answer. We need to preach, go. Four things. Christ's righteousness. God's holiness. Man's sinfulness. Carry your cross. The call to carry your cross. So good job. That made an impact then. All right, there it is. And you put that, we might not get to the next one. Okay. How would changing to these themes, you put on the new one? I'm sorry. How would changing to these themes have a healthy effect? Now, you did a good job starting that. But I want to land on this a little, because otherwise you're going to say, yeah, I got all those. I got all these. Think about this practically, all right? Let's watch what comes out when we talk about this, all right? What happens? What would preaching on God's holiness? God's holiness. God, say, I don't know, say we did a year on each one of these things, right? I say a year because I don't even remember future grace, right? 8 years? I remember a few things in there. I taught it. I don't care what you got out of it. I taught it. It would take a while. There's a few things that stood out to me, but that's so 8 years ago. Wait, 2 years ago that we did 8 years. All right? Me? Before that, you remember we did Instruments in the Redeemer's Hands. What did we do? 3 years on that? I change into his image. Couple years on that? Remember that. Yep. A couple other books we did. I don't remember that. All right? But what would happen if we preached a year on God's holiness? What would that lift up? What would that keep me from? Now, this is going to come out in different ways because we have different views of what holiness would be. Go ahead, start filling the board with this. Fill the screen. It would lift up. It would keep me from.
While it would keep me from self-righteousness.
Of God, okay, all right. And you don't have to hit both sides, all right. Just start filling this board, okay, because you're going to have to get down. Brad, go. These ones would be short, so might not need it. Just speak up.
It's going to keep me from bringing God down to my level. As far as thinking back to what you were just saying about I was having it in my head there, thinking about people that have a tendency to feel obligated to repay kindness with kindness.
Okay.
What you were just saying about that, God, okay. If I do this, God must do that.
Okay.
It might keep us from thinking that.
Okay. No, are you seeing where the link is going to come? See, because that's what I said. If how, you know, you're supposed to love one another as God has loved you. Well, you're doing that, right? In here, you put your best foot forward in here. So that means when you love me, you're thinking, well, I don't know, this is reasonable. Okay. But what if I never repay any of that love according to you? See, if it's from God, it's going to keep flowing. If it's not from God, you're going to be like, well, I don't know what his problem is, right? I tried. Well, isn't that what messes up a lot of marriages? I tried, right? I tried. So here, it's going to bring God down to my level means that we have a little agreement going on here, right? We have an understanding, okay? And that's why the McShane reading has me going through Job right now, right? Book one, for the love of God. They're both back there, first shelf down on the book. That the best devotional that I've found, that's Daily Bread has a place, okay? Alistair Begg one is good. They're good stuff over there. The Paul Tripp one is good. We've got a David Pollison one coming. Fine. The For the Love of God is the best one to keep you moving through that Bible reading plan. And just to give you this much, just solid, right out of one of the texts, all right? One volume does one of the first two passages. The next volume does one of the second two passages. I wish he would do a volume 3 and 4. He hasn't done them yet. But Job talking about innocent suffering and how even, I just read the part where Job's pretty blunt about cursing the day of his birth, right? Go read that, right? Wish I was stillborn. I wish they threw me to the side. I wish they starved me. I wish I didn't come out of the knees or suck at the breast. I wish, but they said he never cursed God. He did it. Oh, no, you got to hear this line. There's the drama for the morning. Ran across the front. Here's the drama. Listen to this. Both here and throughout the book, for all that Job is prepared to argue with God, he is not prepared to write God off. Job is not the modern agnostic or atheist who treats the problem of evil as if it provided intellectual evidence that God does not exist. Job knows that God exists and believes he is powerful and good. That is one reason why, as we shall see, he is in such confusion. Job's agonizings are the agonizings of a believer, not a skeptic. That is big. It both in the last 3 days, he goes, this, we're talking about innocent suffering as we head towards, and I told the guys yesterday, I cannot keep these dear men, his buddies, separate. I'm not good at that yet. But Eliphaz is saying doesn't have a place for innocent suffering. I did get that guy down right. He said that, look, Job, stop it. If you've been standing firm for God, then why are you wimping out now? If you're a real man, you'd be able to keep going. And God doesn't do this for nothing. So you did this bad, he's going to do this back to you. There is some of that, but Carson went on to say, God's timetable is longer. You're looking for immediate retribution. God's takes time. Bring God down to our level. Think about how that plays out in church. Can you believe what she said to me? It's like, well, why don't we figure out why she said it? It doesn't matter. It's wrong. Okay, but what if she thinks it's right? Well, she shouldn't say it. Well, what? You think by saying that you're going to make her stop? All right, I won't say it. Well, she thinks it. That's the bigger problem. She thinks it. How are you going to change her thinking? I don't know. But if that's going to go on in this church, I'm out of here. Jeez, you just brought God down to our level. Fix it. How can you be the pastor? How could you be godly men and women in here? It takes a long time to get the hell out of us. We notice the stuff on the surface, and that's what's funny. In every generation, there's a few different sins we look at and go, that. Look at a holy God, and you start realizing how deeply rooted this stuff is. It'll lift up, it'll keep us from, Harold. Yep. Right. Yeah. All right. Again, until you give me a better one, R.C. Sproul's book, The Holiness of God, I think I got a pile of copies so they can be yours. We can sell in the temple. All right, and get your own copy over there. Okay. I mean, read the Old Testament, but the books that we give that are the best are the ones that you're going to read and go, whoa, and then you go back to Scripture and you go, whoa, you buy a red van, everybody has a red van. All of a sudden you go, yeah, there it is. You fine, go ahead, buy whatever next car you buy, all of a sudden everybody will have it, all right, except a certain few of us will buy a special one that nobody has, right? But the holiness of God, you'll start seeing it all over as you start going through. It's not just in the Old Testament, all right? Talk about the membership class tonight. Do not think I came to abolish the law. not one stroke will pass away unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees. Remember, they weren't thinking of such hypocrites. That's why Jesus was a big deal when he called them out on that. He's saying they put their whole effort into being holy, and he's going, their ceiling is too low. Their ceiling is too low, because what Harold said, eventually you hit that part where you go, if I am trying to be holy. Remember Job? He offered sacrifices for his children in case they might have sinned. Remember that? I mean, they're busy doing whatever, and he's so busy not only being dad, grown-up children, he's caring for their sins, wanting them to be atoned. And what Harold is saying, what are you going to do when the unthinkable happens? Do you realize you're one step away from going from worshiping God to cursing God? The holiness of God is not just his purity, it's his otherness. Remember that. He's over. So that's, it gives us a way to deal with what we don't understand. He is above, and then he is good. And we're not just saying that. He's good. If he is above, okay, then he's not tarnished. Tarnished by all the exits that we take and go, I can't stomach that. Think of what makes you go from being a pleasant person to where Okay, so I'm not holy like you are. So on Saturday nights, I watch a holier murder show because it helps me figure you guys out. Okay, so on Saturday nights, I watch Matlock. Okay, because that's Andy Griffith and he sings him, so we know he's good. All right. So he gets in there and there's this screwy case, right, where it's all messed up, right, where this couple wants to get a divorce, but they pretend they love each other. And they try to get him and his daughter to help them get a divorce. It's a mess, all right? It's all backwards. But what ends up happening is in trying to help them get a friendly divorce, which we shouldn't do and is all a mess, Matlock gets ticked at his daughter. And he goes, you're mad at me. I'm not mad. Yes, you are. No, I'm not. And then he goes, well, then come back and have dinner with me. And she goes, I'm mad at you. What takes you from being reasonable to being done with somebody? The holiness of God is going to help you to look further. Go. Jim. Okay, the holiness of God helps us see true life, relationship, and creativity. I asked the youth group on Thursday night, Holy Spirit, what do you think of? I can't remember the whole list, but it was like kind of magical. If there's anything magical about God, it's coming there. If there's anything mystical, it's coming there. Whew. If there's anything that whooshes through the, it's there. I don't remember what else they said, but it was like, wait, hold on. It's like, wait, when he, the Holy Spirit, comes, he will guide you into all truth. Well, how do you put a personhood around a spirit? When you think of God, what do you think of? See, I grew up thinking of some bright white throne and everybody afraid to show God, so kind of he was in there somewhere. All right? God came. When you focus on the Trinity, if he's holy, you think we have relationship, right? Then you have this weird idea of a relationship with a God you can't see. But why don't you start with God's relationship with God? That's what he's saying. Study God for God. And you don't just see God is love, because you can't even picture him. He's a spirit. How can he love us? You don't need to picture his love toward you to picture his love for his son. This is my beloved son with whom I am well pleased. Okay? Life, there's life up there apart from you. It isn't life down here on this planet. And then the creativity, when he talked about creation. Why don't you just look at, as he's talking amongst themselves, and they're working together. You and I can't work together. Why is the body supposed to be one? As he is one. 1 Corinthians 12, he put each part as he desired, right? There are many members, but one body. So we who are one body are many members. There you go. It's in the Trinity. It's in the holiness. Sheldon, go. When we lift up holiness. Okay, he gets the glory. I'm never going to forget that from 2 Peter 1. If I sin this year and only get through 2 Peter 1 again, I'm still trying to figure out how to do this. I told you, it isn't just to beat on you guys. One, I need you guys to be here every week. That whole thing of I don't know what he's talking about, number one, be here every week. You say, I can't. Number two, the notes are online. Don't read them all right? Just glance over them 10 minutes before you walk in here. Number three, ask somebody else. Don't find a cadre of, did you know what he's saying? I didn't either. Did you know what he's saying? I didn't either. Do what we're doing here in Sunday school. Say, somebody in here find something he was talking about. All right? You've got to use them as a ladder to springboard off each other. So that's one of the reasons we go slow. Because I cannot stand the thought, for me or for you, of sitting under the word and nothing changing. That goes against the whole nature of the Bible. You can't. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. For the word of God is living, active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. We should be able to preach on 2 Chronicles, and you walk away and repent. If you read enough biographies, you study people other than you, outside of your generation, you're going to find people worshiping in the parts of Scripture that you find nothing to do with. And if you can't, just admit you can't and just start where you can. But don't, because you're shrinking the Bible because you're asking a pastor to do an impossible thing when you can't repent on any passage during the week. And then you're telling them don't preach on those others because you have to be an amazing person to jump over all this to make me repent at the parts I can't understand. Okay, so that's one of the reasons I go slow. Is because there's continuity. There needs to be continuity with you. We're heading in that direction. That also is part of the answer for why Future Grace took 8 years. Okay? Remember that in 4 weeks when we get back to it, and then we'll get done quicker. Okay? But the second reason is because I want to understand. It takes that much. When everybody's so skeptical today, you go, well, that's your opinion. That's whoever you was reading. That's their opinion. How do we cut through that? I need to know for myself that when you're done shredding, that there's something solid there left so that I can repent, worship, and believe, all right, and then obey. What Sheldon said, I'll never forget now in 2 Peter 1, 3, and 4. He says he gets the glory. Remember, what does that verse say? By his own glory and excellence. His glory is seen through his excellent acts that he does. Therefore, supplying, add to your faith, moral excellence. That's glorious. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So he gets the glory because you can't study him, yet he's leaking and over into Christ's righteousness. But see, and that's fine, but I want you to see what happens first, if you single each one out, okay, then put them together. And my last question is, how will that produce the revival of the Holy Spirit? Okay? You start getting a glimpse of this. When you see his holiness, you are saying lies about God if all you see is the brokenness. That's not true to the rest of his character. There is a way to please God. He said so. We'll get to that with Christ's righteousness. But this little, I'm good enough. I'm not good enough in the church. I'm not good enough with my husband. I'm not good enough. You can be good enough with the Holy One. Worship. Go. Sandy, Jonathan. No, forgive me. Say it in your words. Right. There it is. Watch, I'm going to say this in the words here this morning before the sermon. How many times, what Pastor said there were 6 trials here for Paul? After a while, you just go, I get the drill. He's going to say the same thing. Okay, imagine, listen for this in the morning service. Imagine if you were in there. Remember all the pomp? Bernice, right? Forget about, you know, all these guys are cruddy character. They're the bigs. There's a lot of power in that room. There could be deadly consequences for Paul. Every time Paul speaks, he not only defends himself against the mistruths, what else does he do? He speaks the very thing that's getting him into trouble every time. Imagine if you were in that room and are so caught up by what he's saying, for a moment you just forget about all the other people in there. And you actually hear about the God that he's talking about that makes him keep talking, even when everybody else is telling him to shut up. I want to know, in eternity, whose lives were changed by being in the room in these 6 trials. Remember? The very thing that the religious leaders want him to shut up with, the most important people in the Roman Empire are hearing about on his way to his death. That takes a few years to get there. Right? Free to worship. Maybe you and I are going to take a long time. That's why I say I'm working on my marriage with every single one of you in here. I don't love you like I'm supposed to. You don't love me like you're supposed to. And the answer isn't going to come horizontally. It's going to come vertically. The freedom in here, the oneness in here is going to come when you get more of an unencumbered view of who he is. Then we sing together. The byproduct is how we work with each other. It is not the other way around. I can only be free to worship in a church where I feel comfortable with everybody. Mm-mm. We're free to worship. Jonathan, say it in your way. Say it in your way. Joy, freedom, and obedience in worship. Those in the membership class are going to hear a fast view of what we've worked a couple months in youth group to come up with. Before we get to the local church, you have to understand, are you part of the people of God? What is the definition of the church? And the final part of that definition we just popped on Thursday night is that it was heading toward, we were saved for the purpose of exhibiting the glory of God to mankind. In faithful and joyful service. I'm probably messing that up. But faithful and joyful service. Faithful meaning because he is God. He is God. There's no one else and joyful because he makes you, Philippians 2, God is at work both to will and to work for his good pleasure. He makes you willing. How does he get glory? You know, that sounds like a, you know, one of those Lord of the Rings movies where the orcs force you into service for their evil purposes. How does God get glory if you go, I have to obey him or he puts me in hell? Right? He changes your desires to willingly serve me. And if you go, yeah, that's sick. Well, then you are bringing him down to your level because you're not acknowledging that he can take your amazing mind and make you willingly, with your mind, not turning your mind off, with your mind, say, the Lord, he is God and he is good. See, the danger inside the church is when we go, stop this, well, then we stop the process of us working, like Job, through the junk that we have until we can say from our heart, the Lord, he is good. Go, Tracy. Yeah. Go. Okay. Okay. So she calls it prayer. How about prayer is talking to God, asking God? See, that's what, can I trust you? Can I trust you? See, if you can trust me, then the worst thing that happens, you go to the people you trust, right? It was a rough week. And with some people, more and more layers come off, and you just say it, right? When she's saying, we have to go to the Lord, that's what it's saying. If he is above, then even when the unthinkable happens, he's still trustworthy. You still go to him in prayer. See, prayer isn't separate from that. It's relational. And if he is I am God and there is no other, then our prayerlessness, all right, shows our unbelief, all right, which shows then our lack of seeing the goodness and faithfulness of God. You won't be faithful if you don't see God as faithful. So when she says, lifting up the holiness of God, see, it just keeps cleaning it away. He's not like that, all right? Jody keeps saying this. Jody Wanger keeps saying, make sure that you're telling truths about God in your head when you think during the week. What are you implying, okay? Your thoughts, you know, I'm never going to make it through this week. If God determines that I'm not going to make it through this week, then he has something else going on. If he says I'm going to make it through this week, then I'm going to make it through this week. Say something true about God, right? Otherwise, you know, that I feel all alone. You're lying. He said, I'll never leave you, forsake you. Well, I don't know if I'm his. Come to me and you'll have rest, right? What are you saying about God? So she said, see, this will, back to what Jim said, holiness is not something intangible. It's not just snow before a dog gets to it. Holiness, all right, is something that keeps it always above. Remember, that's why one of my favorite verses in Hebrews, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul. Right? I'm not into the bottom of the ocean, but I can't fathom how deep the ocean is. Isn't that amazing how deep it can go that you can get down to a place where no matter how much is going on the top, nothing's going on down there. It's all steady. Okay? Prayer, the first place we go. Prayer. A couple more, and I'm going to move to the next one. Pastor?
Yeah.
Go off of that.
Go. That prayer, the simplicity of Paul saying, pray without ceasing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. So if you're a handyman, right, you work construction, what tool do you always have with you? What tool do you feel lost without? All right, yeah, there you go. He says a hammer, right? That's the old days, right? You got to have a cordless something, right? A cordless something, okay? The last time I had a builder come over, man, he had a whole, like, laundry basket full of batteries, right? He goes, I feel like a Fisher-Price guy with all my toys there, as they had all those tools. They're all dependent on a battery. But whatever, God's not your tool. But what he said then is that's the old, are we weak and heavy laden? Come, we're with a load of care, right? Precious Savior, still our refuge. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do thy friends despise, forsake thee? Take it to the Lord in prayer. You go, yada, 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 yada. No, it's talking about something that's always there. Holiness, right? You're free. You're free to be able to go there, right? Anything else? Come on. Yeah, go stand. Me too. I was really late. Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay, he's seeing it through the lens of holiness. Nicole, lift that and put that one on the last slide of carrying our cross. See, Sheldon's kind of went on Christ's righteousness. See, these are going to leak, all right? It's there. He got there through holiness. But careful, remember David Paulison's book on sanctification? You go there and goes, well, I read plenty of books on holiness. No, that one is going to talk about corporate sanctification. So therefore, it's going to say, as you interact with each other, you have to unbalance the scriptures in order to make application. You rebalance it so you don't get out of focus, okay? Unbalance, meaning there's different parts of God's character that are out of line in each one of us. There's the same stuff going on, all right? But you have to apply different parts. People have different things together that you don't. They're missing things that you have, okay? But he has it all right? So we'll come back to the fellowship of suffering, Charles, and then I'm going to move on, all right? Or it's your fault that we're not finishing this class. That'll work. Did you say it in the keeps us from way or it lifts up?
I said it keeps us
from. All right. Keeps us from, help me, misrepresenting? Or how did you?
Yeah, from saying that yeah. Love is.
All right. So I'm going to say misrepresenting the any of his attributes. All right. So. It lifts, sorry, Nicole, lifts up integrity of his attributes. Good luck, Nicole. Okay? Lifts up the integrity of it. That's amazing. That's why we're saying the Puritans often had big fat books that were taking apart each one of God's characteristics. That's why in my prayer group, not all the prayer groups should do this. They don't all need to force you to pray. I got my goals. There's good and bad about all of them. But I'm trying to get you to find one of God's attributes to praise him for. And if you go, thank you for your faithfulness, you're always there. Is that it? You don't even have a tract worth of writing that's this thin about God's faithfulness. Write about God's faithfulness, right? Study the trustworthiness of God, right? Study what his omnipotence means. What's a pure version? And love is the biggest. Because that's where we relationally have struggles with each other. You're not loving. Says who? See, if you misrepresent God's love, he's saying, you're not loving. He goes, no, you're not loving. This is love. He's always laying down that gauntlet in those verses throughout Scripture of telling us what love looks like. Okay? All right. That was easy, right? You got it. Here, do it. Man's sinfulness lifts up what? 1 year after holiness, it's every sermon is on man's sinfulness. You've probably heard more about sin since you've come to this church than you have elsewhere, maybe somewhere else. Some of it has been not just us, but it's been a recovery inside of genuine Christianity to talk about sinfulness. It will lift up what? It will keep us from, Sheldon, whichever. Okay. The green light. Is it there? Green light, Dan. Yeah, stick it in your mouth, remember? Yeah. Not the belly button. Go. I'm not
a pilot. Anyway.
there you go. Lips yeah, up.
Yeah. Right, because in like when the noise stops around us and we sit there, that happened to me a lot before I was saved. When everybody left and I was by myself, I knew there was something wrong. Even though I tried to tell myself that I was okay, I'm okay, guy, I'm not as bad as that guy or the guy in prison or something like that, a part of me knew there was something wrong. And until you identify it and you point it out, like tell the truth about what it, that's sin in God's eyes. Until you do that, I'm not going to be looking for a cure.
Continuing. Keeps us continuing. As is. As is. Go. Go. Where is it, Jim?
I'm thinking of this stuff, the authority of God, one God said, Jesus said, let's say the Old Testament, and
that'll work. No, that'll work, right? Somebody's constantly telling you throughout your day that we're glad you're around, but you're out of line, right? Some people do it loudly, some people do it quietly, but somebody's always saying, adjust your course, right? However they're doing it, right? When we lift up man's sinfulness, okay, We are saying that God is the one that is saying, adjust your course. See, this whole thing of arguing amongst ourselves about what sin we should tolerate, what sin we shouldn't, okay? And I get it, there's a process. Like we said before, his holiness makes you remember his timetable. The Lord is not slow about his promise, some count slowness, but is gracious, not willing for any to perish, but all come to repentance. Do you realize sometimes we let things go in here for a while so that you can see your own sinfulness, to give them room to be able to see it? You really want somebody to repent of something that they don't see that is wrong in their life? They need to see it. They need to see something beyond just you said it. They have to be able to see it from God. You go, yeah, but it's got to be dealt with. That's not how God does. Go look. Look in the Old Testament. All the terrible stuff that happened to Israel, look how long it was prophesied. If you disobey, this will happen. And look at how many years took place before they were finally drug off into exile. Before the Lord works at a different timetable with this. Let his word have the final. There's hands everywhere. Jonathan? Brian? Mike? Go. Go.
Yeah. We are, very prideful. Entitled. Every time God gives us something that's hard, we feel like it's our reaction to lash out against that and feel like it's something we don't deserve. And we feel like we deserve everything good. I don't know. Understanding our sinfulness should completely flip that on its head, bringing us from thinking we deserve everything and bringing ourselves the glory to realizing that we're completely at the bottom. We deserve everything bad and complete separation from God and his common grace. And that should, I don't know, anything good is a absolute gift of his grace then.
Right. It keeps us from lashing over here to Brad. Keeps us from lashing out because undeserved. So what was the worst part of my little kidney stone experience? You know, you're sitting there thinking, this has got to stop, all right? Which, you know, I had somebody that used to come here years ago that walked through and just wanted to chit-chat with me. And it was just like, and then she's like, are you in here for yourself? It's like, whatever, just go, all right? All right, then the needles were the worst part. And then they start going, oh, yeah, the person next door, room over, has COVID. And the person, I thought, get me out of here, man. These people are sick. You know, but when do you discernment? Yeah, you're sick too, all right? Just stop. You're all, this is not a safe place if you're trying to get away from sickness, right? When you're lashing out, you're just like, ah, you're making me not be holy, all right? Because you're sinning, right? Well, what in the world do you think? You were sorry. You go, well, we're all sinners. Okay, well, that's not safe, right? But then, see, if you're lashing out at the people around you, God couldn't have me in a church full of mess. There is reason when a church is way out of focus. We got all that. And also, don't play this game of, well, I was justified with whatever choices I made with church or whatever before. Don't play that game. Maybe you were, maybe you weren't. Part of growing is realizing things you didn't know before, all right? And so stop trying to justify yourself. Start saying, how am I growing and looking to God now, okay? And what is he changing in me now? Because you're not just lashing out at the people around you. You're lashing out at God then. When you finally understand how much sin is in there, you stop playing the, did he let this happen to me because of this sin or that sin? Yeah, maybe. I don't think you're seeing how sick you are. When you start realizing that, you stop going tit for tat. That's what I learned about Eliphaz. Brad.
I guess if you're going about preaching these topics in this particular order,
yep.
The next step I would think of is that this brings to light the vast gulf between God's holiness, God's nature and man's nature. And now that I'm really thinking on it, I guess this is more or less a repurpose of the last thing I said.
Of the holiness?
About God's holiness.
Go.
With keeping us from bringing God down to our level. It's more or less the same thing here, really.
Right. Right. And now you understand, over here to Tracy, right? Now you understand why, remember, in the At Calvary song, oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary, amazing grace to save such a worm as I, a wretch as I, and then the new ones change that because we're not that bad, okay? See, it isn't about calling each other names. It's about seeing yourself in relationship to God. It shows the vast gulf, okay? Praise isn't something that you do with a drum set, right? That's not praise music. Praise is something you sing in the shower and you sing. For me, it was that pain, the kidney stones. They were like, all right, I'm a wimp, all right? But whatever I wimp, I couldn't think deep thoughts. I had to think steady thoughts. I told you to say he restores my soul. That's what I said to myself. But God, there's something more than what I'm thinking about right now. There's life going on around me. People are going around like other things are important. Okay, so are you. Would you expand my pain? Is shrinking my world, okay? But you're expanding. Sinfulness, okay, helps me see the great distance, and I stop thinking I can just come up to the table and say what I want to God. Go, Tracy.
This is piggybacking off of what Sheldon had said about needing a doctor. If you're preaching man's sinfulness, then perhaps people, once they see that they are sinners in need of a Savior, then they will get saved, they will turn, repent, and come to Christ.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. What? So it lifts up the gospel, right? All right? The gospel is the good news. It becomes good news then. So yes, there is no way forward. That's why they've said, yes, God loves you. Yes, he's calling to you. But remember God's love to the woman at the well, you know, as he kept exposing. Go call your husband. I don't have a husband. Yeah, you've rightly said that. And the one you're with now is not your husband. You have five, right? And it's always amazing. It makes me cry when I see a woman that comes out, we guess, in the middle of the day, right, to stay away from everybody else's mocking. She runs back and says what? Come see a man who told me everything about myself. You just laugh. You think everybody's like, well, we'll tell you everything about yourself. Why does she say it? She just says it because there's a way out of that. She don't have to go to the well at the middle of the day anymore. You can laugh at her and you do what you want. I got something else. Dave, go.
Thinking like, you know how when you go to somebody's house and you start taking your shoes off because they have carpet and they're like,
"Yep,
oh, you guys don't have to take your shoes off." They're assuming that your shoes are generally clean. But if you said like, "I just stepped in fresh dog poop,"
right?
They're going to be like, "Oh, please take your shoes off."
Yeah.
And thinking like, that's not a hopeless situation if you follow the instructions. When our children step into dog poop,
yeah,
you know, and they're like, oh, what should I do? It's like, take your shoes off
right
before you come in the house.
Yeah.
Then you proceed into the house, and then eventually you get the shoes cleaned off.
Yeah.
And you start
put
fresh.
Put it back on their feet. Yeah.
So it's like, as long as you follow the instructions, it's a situation that has hope and there's a solution. But if you don't, if they're like, I don't want to take my shoes off, it's like, well, then you can't be in the house. And that's kind of the way it is with God. He has a solution, but we have to follow his instructions.
Isn't it amazing how I go through the Gospels? For him who has ears to hear, let him hear. For him who has ears to hear, let him hear. How long have I been with you? And you, well, don't find that as miserable. If God tells you off, there's a way back. Until the final judgment, if God tells you off, that's why I said take your spankings from God, because they have a purpose and they stop. Yours about yourself are not reliable, and yours to me or me to you. You know, we go one other whack because you wrecked my day, right? God don't have to play that game. His have a purpose if we're as bad as he says we are. Are we done? Is there somebody who had the mic? And we're done. Hannah, say it, and we're done.
Take responsibility for our actions. Like, we won't blame society, we won't blame circumstances, we will own up to our sin, and like they were sharing, we'll find hope and forgiveness if we know what we're dealing with. We can turn to Christ.
Leads to hope. All right, Don Francisco, don't trust his views on church and a few other things right now, but for years. I looked up his dad. I listened to part of his dad's funeral this week because his dad was a professor for 30 years at Southern Seminary in Old Testament theology. And that's a big deal because then Don Francisco went wild for a while, then he came back. But one of the songs when he was still thinking solid, he's gotten disgusted with the church and a few other things got messed up. But he's got this little song that goes, "It's your own fault. You went ahead and did it. It's your own fault. Can't blame no one but yourself. It's your own fault. No matter what you did, no matter what how you want it, you can't blame someone else." And he goes, "Everybody's an expert at passing the buck, blaming society, parents, and luck. Don't yell at your wife. Don't kick the cat. Tell God the truth. He'll listen to that. Lord Jesus, would you help us? Help us. We're getting it, God. Would you help us? Now that we talked about it, would you help us to lift up your holiness this week? Would you help us to not run away when somebody blames us and say maybe they're wrong slightly, but your words are true and we are not like you. Help us to listen to what to do with our shoes. Please, God, if we say there's no way back, we're lying about you. Father, would you work in our hearts so that we see the gospel just like the angels when they say, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace among men. Please, Lord, Help us not to make the preacher do all the work. Help us to be hungry to hear something from inside your word this morning, to sing as the response of our heart, of these songs to minister to us, then help us to care for the people around us in our homes. In Jesus' name, amen.